4.4 million. That is how many Americans quit their jobs last month. So says the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that's a near record high. So cue the buzzwords, the great resignation, the quitasion. We don't like our jobs. Well, except maybe we do. Derek Thompson, our regular on the show, is here with a contrarian argument. He's staff writer with The Atlantic. Okay, Derek, you ready?
I am ready, yes.
Your piece, which we will post at heronow.org, argues, no, we don't hate our jobs. So, okay, counselor, the jury is seated. Make your case.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity to speak before the jury of amassed listeners in NPR. Thank you. Look, I want to begin by saying to this amassed crowd that I am not rooting for any particular outcome here. If there are people who are listening who hate their jobs, I believe them. If there are people who know friends or family members who say they hate their jobs, I believe them. What I'm trying to scrutinize is the impression in the media that most Americans hate their job and that the Great Resignation is a reflection of this widespread job hatred. Well, if you look at surveys and you look at polls, polls by the Conference Board, polls by the General Social Survey, polls by Gallup and Pew, over and over and over, you find evidence that a majority of Americans consistently say that they are satisfied by their jobs. The General Social Survey, which is in many ways the gold standard of American polling on very specific questions of social interest, has found that every year of the survey, going back about 20 years, more than 80% of respondents have said they are very or moderately satisfied with their jobs. I think it's important to point to surveys like this, not because it tells us we have to like our job, but rather because it tells us that most Americans aren't as miserable in their jobs as a lot of online journalists sometimes pretend they are.
And yet, so many people statistically are quitting their jobs. So can it help me understand how, I guess, both can be true? Are you saying this is not necessarily people ditching jobs that they hate, but they're taking new opportunities, that, you know, this is less about people's hearts and more about their feet?
It's not about hating your job. It's about wanting to make more money. That is, in a nutshell, the simplest possible explanation I can give you for what we call the Great Resignation, but is really more like the great job switcheroo. This isn't about a dramatic shift in worker sentiment. It's a dramatic shift in worker opportunity. Hires are up in every single industry. Job openings are near record highs throughout the leisure and hospitality sector, which also happens to have the most job quits. We see over and over again that most the area of the economy with the most people, quote unquote, resigning from their jobs or quitting their jobs are places like the accommodations and food services sector. That's like hotels and restaurants. But these industries, hotels and restaurants, aren't losing workers. They are gaining workers. They gained 2 million employees in 2021. So what we're really looking at is something much more like a large free agency period in the services sector, where people are switching jobs, but the BLS, the government, calls those job departures quits. And it confuses us into thinking that Americans want to quit their job rather than the fact that Americans want to continue working for more money.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this kind of subset of workers. You mentioned the Conference Board, this business group. Their survey saw, for workers under 35, a drop in job satisfaction. And as you're suggesting, they often work in restaurants or service jobs where they're more exposed to virus risk, perhaps. In a separate survey by MetLife, has data that says 23 to 28-year-olds say their job satisfaction is at a 20-year low. So is it important to look at some of these subsets of the working population?
I think it's important to look at everything that we can look at. I would just say that the more you fine-tune your data sets, the smaller your data set is, which means the less reliable that data set is. So, you know, if the Conference Board or MetLife wanted to look at a survey that was saying, you know, only looking at 23 to 28-year-olds living in the Eastern Standard Time Zone who worked in leisure and hospitality and graduated from college, well, you can definitely carve out that subset of the poll. But the more you carve it out, the more variable those results are going to be year to year. It's best, I think, to look at the general picture, in large part because these media narratives are about the general picture. And the general picture shows us that not just the Conference Board, not just the General Social Survey, not just Pew, not just Gallup, But all mm-hmm. of these major pollsters find that year after year, somewhere between 50 and 80% of Americans tell pollsters they are satisfied by their jobs. I'm just saying that is an important data point to put alongside the anecdotal evidence that, of course, lots of people are miserable in mm-hmm. their work.
And finally, quickly, Derek, you write that you're as shocked as any of us about this data. So how do you kind of put it together? Is it, you know, one of these narratives that we get stuck in? I love this term narrative fallacies. We might be getting it wrong.
I think this is a narrative fallacy. I think it's always important to balance data and anecdote. It's important to look at the big picture numbers and also the small bore details of the world. The world is difficult to explain, but we need to use data to explain it.
Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Derek, thank you as always.
Thank you.